Well, the divided Supreme Court has given its opinion about redefining marriage. The question is, what does God have to say, and what are we, God's people, to do?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast their cords away from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs, the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I've set my king on Zion, my holy hill. There have been many times throughout human history where human beings say, no, get away from me, to God and his ways. God continues to rule and reign. Jesus continues to be Lord. The question is, how do we, God's people, respond, react? In times like today, with momentous decisions coming down from the Supreme Court, we'll be talking about that over the next couple of hours. We've got so much to deal with. I'll be giving my own statement a little later in the broadcast. If you'd like to weigh in or if you have questions to ask, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to immediately welcome to the broadcast someone who must be one of the busiest men in America today, Matt Staver, who is the founder and chairman of Liberty Council, vice president of Liberty University, dean of Liberty University School of Law, and chairman of Liberty Council Action. And Matt, you have been on the front lines of the battle for marriage for years now. How are you doing today emotionally with the Supreme Court decision? How are you feeling on the inside, sir?
Well, certainly I'm disappointed, but you know, I look at this from a long-term process and not just whether or not you win or lose a particular battle. This decision today by the United States Supreme Court, I think, undermines its legitimacy and its moral authority in the eyes of the people and ultimately will weaken the court. You go back to the 1992 decision of Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and Justice O'Connor said that unlike the legislature, which passes the laws, makes the laws, and the executive, which enforces the laws, the court has neither authority, and its sole authority is in the fact that the people consider its decisions to be legitimate. If the people lose confidence that these decisions are legitimate, the court loses its authority. I think that's what's happened today with this decision. Because on this Federal Defense of Marriage Act, first of all, the court should have never heard the case. There was no controversy between the parties. It's the first time in history of the court that the plaintiff and the defense and the lower court decision, they all agree with each other. It should have never been to the high court. The court overreached and took this case. And then secondly, once it decided to reach the merits, it purported to use a equal protection analysis. But any equal protection analysis in the court's history always asks the question, number one, what's the right you're claiming? And number two, is it deeply rooted in our history, and is it essential to our notion of ordered liberty? Well, the right that they're claiming is same-sex marriage. Is it deeply rooted in our history? Is it essential to the concept of ordered liberty? The answer is unequivocally no. The court didn't address that question, because if it did, it would have had to reach an opposite conclusion. This is a decision by five justices using their own ideology, untethered to the Constitution, and undermines the legitimacy of the court.
Yeah, and Matt, we come back, I want to ask you a few specific questions. Obviously, Justice Scalia has spoken today as well in his minority dissent in terms of how the court is making itself illegitimate, even with a strong warning. I'd love for you to address that. Then we come back, I know you've got a lot to do and other appointments to get to, but very quickly, I want you to explain to our listeners what actually happened in the two decisions, DOMA and Prop 8, your comments on what Justice Scalia had to say, and then lastly, what can we do as believers? We'll be right back with Matt Staver. Call a friend, encourage them to tune in to the broadcast today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
By God's grace, we are serving as a voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. We need wisdom. We need a spiritual perspective in light of the Supreme Court rulings today. 866-34-TRUTH. My guest, Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. Matt, again, thanks for joining us on the air. I know you're doing media interviews day and night. Justice Scalia has spoken very plainly. He sounded a warning about the decision regarding DOMA today. He's even said that in a ripping dissent, quoting from a report here, Scalia says that Justice Anthony Kennedy and his colleagues in the majority have resorted to calling opponents of gay marriage enemies of the human race. Do you feel that his warnings are too strong, that he's overstating things, or does this have prophetic truth to it right from the start?
No, it's absolutely truthful. I mean, this decision states, and it gives the broad brush to all of the legislators, including the president who signed DOMA in 1996, the label of being bigots, hate mongers, hateful, demeaning, hurtful, all of the labels that he throws out there. It is a playbook from the homosexual agenda book, After the Ball, and other kinds of agendas that they promote. And in fact, this is the decision, as Scalia ultimately predicts, that will ultimately be the one that will be used to undermine same-sex or to promote same-sex marriage and undermine marriage. It is to marriage what the 1972 contraception for unmarried couples was to the 1973 abortion decision. Mm. It was on that decision that the Supreme Court then later, a year later, in 73, based its so-called right to privacy and abortion decision. That's what this decision is today. It doesn't institute same-sex marriage across the country. It does significant damage to this institution, but it certainly lays the foundation for undermining it, and we'll see litigation all over the country now.
All right, so what then specifically happened with the DOMA decision and the Prop 8 decision, just in the simplest terms for our listeners?
Basically, the Prop 8 decision defines and affirms marriage as the union of one man and one woman for purposes of federal benefits like joint filing of income tax returns, Social Security spousal benefits. You have to be married as a man and a woman, not same sex. That's what the court decided was unconstitutional under this newfound analysis that's never been before used. The Proposition 8 case ultimately says that that case doesn't have standing, so the court's not going to reach the issue. That means that the lower court decision in California stands, which makes an odd situation. You've got the Southern District, which is San Diego and the greater surrounding area, the Middle, Los Angeles and the greater surrounding area, and the Northern, San Francisco and the greater surrounding area. The only part of California that's affected is that northern part. That will be under same-sex marriage now. The rest of California will have to go through litigation to see if it's going to apply, because that Northern District decision does not apply to the other parts of California. So that's what's going to happen in California, additional litigation there. What's going to happen in the Federal Defense of Marriage Act case is two things. Number one, this case will ultimately be used to try to export marriage to other states. Say, for example, somebody gets married in Massachusetts. They move to Florida, which has a marriage amendment. Then they file for joint income tax returns. The question is, what's going to happen? Are they going to challenge any law? Which law holds true? The law from their state in which they got same-sex marriage, or the law where they reside, which does not recognize same-sex marriage from another sister state? That litigation is going to ensue. And then the second thing is going to happen. This particular case will be front and center on challenging all of the other 31 states that have constitutional marriage amendments and all the statutes amounting to about 40 states or 38 states that have statutes and or constitutional marriage amendments. So this unleashed the floodgate to the advancement to same-sex marriage.
Got it. All right. So it's not worst-case scenario. It continues to move rapidly in that direction. Hence, all the work that's been done all these years leading up to this, to oppose this, all the warnings that have been sounded. Obviously, as believers, we pray. We should pray more earnestly than we have. We reach out. We stand up for what's right. We seek to live right in our own marriages and families. Along with that, what can we do constructively? What can every believer do to take steps to stand up for what's right? Obviously, we can't just walk away from the Supreme Court right now or appoint new justices, but there are things we can do. What would you suggest in terms of your realm of influence that you'd like our listeners to be doing?
Well, right now, I think that Scalia also said that the court is essentially going to continue this if the people allow it. And the only legitimacy that the court has is if the people assume that it's legitimate. I think the court has crossed the line. It has exercised authority that has not been granted to it. And now it is time for the people to say, we are drawing a line in the sand, enough is enough. This is a decision that should not have any validity because it is illegitimate. I think it's that serious. If we sit back and accept this, like we accepted Roe versus Wade, and we've had 55 million children die as a consequence of that illegitimate decision, if we accept this, our religious liberty is at stake. There's no question that all of those labels that Kennedy used are going to be used against every believer, every Christian, every person who believes in marriage as one man and one woman. Marriage predates religion. It predates every civil authority. It is the height of hubris that five people have the authority to redefine it. Yep. And it's only going to have authority if we just simply walk away and say, okay, it's the Supreme Court decision. I guess we have to live with it. We've got to push back. Now, how we do that, we're going to have to discuss that in upcoming days. But we have to push back, and we have to push back now.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the first thing we need to understand. Just because five people made a decision, that does not affect God's will. That does not affect what we do as individuals. We walk in love towards everyone, compassion towards everyone, and at the same time, we stand up for what's right. And Matt, we'll get as many signers to the solidarity statement on marriage that you've drafted. And we're standing together. Keep up the great work on the front lines. We will not be discouraged. Jesus is Lord, and ultimately we know his ways will triumph in the earth. So thanks for joining us, and thanks for the great work you and Liberty Council are doing.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
All right. That was Matt Staver. I know he is super, super busy today. We really appreciate him taking time out to join us. In a moment, on my Facebook page and Twitter, I'm going to be posting the Freedom Federation statement, "We stand in solidarity to defend marriage and the family and society founded upon them." I'm one of the signers of that with a few hundred other ministry leaders, and then thousands upon thousands have been signing it. But when we come back, I've got a couple minutes now, but just want to let you know what's coming. We come back, I'm going to give you my own statement, and then we will put that out as soon as possible for our listeners and for everyone that wants to see it. We'll have audio and video up so that you can listen to this, you can watch it. Just 5 points that are on my heart that I want to share with everyone. It is a very negative day in many ways, and while those that we pray for who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender see this as a very important day, obviously, certain decisions were made, others were not made by the court, so that this only goes so far in terms of bringing about change. But as Matt Staver eloquently said, it opens the floodgates. We want to remember something. We don't have enemies here in terms of earthly enemies, okay? The same devil who wants to destroy you is the same devil who wants to destroy me. The same devil who wants to destroy heterosexuals is the same devil who wants to destroy those who identify as homosexual. The same devil who wants to destroy Muslims is the same devil who wants to destroy Jews. We have a spiritual enemy, the common enemy of the human race. That's the enemy that we have. Everyone else in this earth, I don't have an enemy. Oh, I'm on a lot of people's list as their enemy. They see me as an enemy, but I don't have any enemies in this world. There's no one in this world that I identify as an enemy. There are fellow human beings, some who know the Lord and some who don't. And that will be my posture. But can I just suggest this to you? As the broadcast unfolds today, a lot of things are going to be clear to you. You'll have a lot more insight in what's happening. If you're frustrated, if you're upset, hopefully we'll help put your emotions and your spirit in harmony going the right direction. But I hope you see the value of us being here on the air. I hope you recognize the importance of us having live talk radio, where tomorrow we can focus on urgent things in the Middle East and in Israel. And today we can focus on urgent things happening in our society. And yesterday we can focus on issues that divide the church over the second coming of Jesus. And every day we can be here as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We are listener-supported. We're going to do something very special today for those that stand with us. So keep listening. We come back. I will share with you my take on the Supreme Court decisions and how we should respond.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. In the second half hour today, I'm going to be joined by my friend Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. He'll reflect on things happening in society today and also on the demise of Exodus and God's better solution. I've written about that. My article is getting a lot of attention on that as well. We'll talk about that. I want to talk to you about things happening with our kids, our children, that you need to know about it, that are critically important to know about. Read my article, The Battle is for Your Child's Future. This battle is for your child's future. Go to AskDrBrown.org and just click on the latest article there. 866-34-TRUTH. A little while, I'll be posting a petition that you can all sign and stand together on. Not a petition, a statement about marriage. Let me give you my thoughts on the Supreme Court ruling today. 7 points that I want to make. Number one, the Lordship of Jesus and the rule of God have not been affected in the least. In other words, as grievous as these decisions are, as grievous as the fact that some of these things even made it to the Supreme Court and these questions were even being asked, God is still God. He's still our sovereign King. Jesus is still Lord. There is no fretting or wringing of hands in heaven. God is not worried. Remember Psalm 2. As I was praying and reflecting this morning, I wanted to post something for those waiting to hear something from me. And I said, everybody stop for a minute, read Psalm 2. And then one of my colleagues said, Mike, before I even knew what the Supreme Court was going to decide today or that this was being released, he said, this is my devotional for today, Psalm 2, that the nation's trying to overthrow the rule and the reign of God. And he laughs from heaven about that. This is a constant cycle, a constant pattern. And ultimately, God will triumph. God's ways will always triumph. And my colleague said he had stopped just to praise and worship God and give thanks and then realize what was happening today and the applicability of Psalm 2. If you haven't stopped yet to read Psalm 2, stop and read it out loud and then step back and praise and worship God. That's number one. Number two, the Supreme Court decisions today are not as bad as the sweeping Roe v. Wade decision of 1973 in terms of immediate effects and consequences and the overreach of the 73 Roe v. Wade decision. We were told that would never change. American society has gone in this direction. Well, we've suffered terribly. The unborn, over 55 million, have suffered terribly. Mothers and families have suffered terribly as a result of that. But that decision remains on shaky ground and continues to be challenged throughout our society. Just because things are going in a certain direction today does not mean that's the direction they will be going in tomorrow or 5 or 10 years from now. Number three, above all, this was a test for the legitimacy of the Supreme Court, and it failed miserably today. Rather than looking at a decision that the Supreme Court made about other things, this was the decision the Supreme Court was making about itself. Number four, human beings have not changed the will and ways of God. human beings cannot say what marriage is and isn't in terms of what God intended and God ordained and what lies at the very foundation of human society. And ultimately, if push comes to shove and human beings are going to tell us you have to do this or you have to do this, with all respect and honor for authority, when we're told to disobey God and his word, we say we're sorry, but we have to obey God regardless of cost, regardless of consequence. Number five, we must not be concerned about the gloating of gay activists. First, for them, it's a great day. From their perspective, this is about freedom and equality and being recognized and having the best for their families and so on, and a triumph of their ideology and the wrongness and Stone Age nature of our opposition. So they're celebrating. Don't let that bother you. This is not a personal battle. Let's remember that. This is not a personal battle. It's not, oh, they won, we lost. It's not a personal battle. These are people we care about and we pray for, and we want to see God's mercy and transforming love touch them and touch their families. And so we should pity them as they gloat more than anything, because ultimately this social experiment will fail miserably, and ultimately God will have the last word. Number six, this is a further wake-up call for the Church of America and the Church of the world. The tide has shifted in our nation because of our compromise, our lethargy, our cowardice, and our sin. But by God's grace, this can drive us to our knees in repentance and new resolve, and awakening can come. This could be just what we needed. And number seven, let us, like never before, live for God. Let us, like never before, seek him for revival in the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender-identified community. Let's reach out to them with the good news of Jesus like never before. And the answer to the ongoing collapse of our society is a Jesus revolution. And that will come through you and me surrendering our lives fully to the Lord, saying, here I am, send me, use me, and then living this out in every area of life, and we will see the Lord shake and awaken our country. All right, that is what is on my heart to share with you, and we will get this out online as soon as possible so that you can share this with your friends as well. And I just heard from one of our grads in Holland. Her brother is well connected with a national leader there. I wrote an article on radical Islam. Is radical Islam normative Islam? What is the real nature of Islam? I wrote that article, and she saw it back in Holland, got it to her brother. Copies were made and given to every member of the Dutch parliament. Just heard this yesterday. I don't know if every one of them read it, but everyone was presented with the article in print, and one of the key national leaders absolutely read it, and that's part of getting it to everybody in Parliament. Our voice is being heard by God's grace. We are making a difference, and I'm asking you to stand with us. If you appreciate us being on the front lines, if you know we're going to tackle these issues with faith, with the Word of God, with compassion, with uncompromising truth, with encouraging you to have broken hearts and backbones of steel and hopefully modeling that on some level, stand with us. And look, my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America, has never been more relevant. 700 pages with postage over $30, but it's yours today as my thank you for your gift of any size. Stand with us, sow into what we're doing. Help alleviate some of the pressure we're under and help us get onto more and more stations across America. And the book is absolutely critical reading, A Queer Thing Happened to America. My thank you gift for your gift of any size. I'll also enclose the 5x7 card, 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary, to help you see how to live this out day by day. Call right now. Would you stand with us? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. That's 1-800-278-9978. Call now. Stand with us. Together, friends, we are making a difference. Jesus is Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast. If you're just tuning in, if you missed my seven-point statement regarding the Supreme Court decisions today, we videotaped that as well, and we should have that online within a couple of hours. We will keep you posted, hopefully even before the shows are out today. 866-348-7884. Otherwise, just later today, as soon as you have a break, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the latest video. You'll be able to see that. And also click on the latest article. It's entitled, The Battle is for Your Child's Future. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said, the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world it leaves to its children. What kind of world are we leaving to our children? My guest, Peter LaBarbera, has been on the front lines standing for truth regarding homosexuality, reaching out to those who are same-sex attracted and gender confused with the gospel of Jesus, but standing firmly at the same time against gay activism in society. He's hated for it. He's maligned for it. He's taken financial hits for it. It's been anything but fun. Peter, thanks for joining us today. What is your state of mind right now in light of the Supreme Court decision?
Well, I'm trying to process it, Michael, and I can't wait to read your 7 points because I'm sure they're going to be brilliant. But to me, it seems once again, seven black-robed justices overrode both the U.S. Congress and the people's vote in California, and it's quite shocking. And I'm just wondering if there's a way to slow this train down through the heroic actions of maybe a governor or a state like Oklahoma or something, where they say we will never ratify same-sex so-called marriage.
Right. So if you had tens of millions of Californians voting on this issue, and then their vote twice now can be overturned. Yeah. And then you can have state officials saying, hey, sorry, we're not going to defend it, which is part of what got it overturned. Who knows what happens when people stand for righteousness? Pete, I remember having you on the air some months back, and I asked a simple question, why are you doing this? Why don't you stop? And you said, I'll stop when they stop. This is not something where we can just maintain neutrality, is it?
Oh, absolutely not, Mike, and thank you for all the great work you've done. I'm reading a history of the gay revolution, and it is a revolution, Mike, as you know.
Yeah.
And, I went back to the old, the bully tactics, the zaps. Remember the zaps in the, in New York City? They would go up and basically bully these politicians into submission. And what's interesting about this history is, as you know, Mike, they were always rewarded. The gay bullies were always rewarded in the history of the gay revolution. And here again, we see them now. It's much more progressive, of course. It's all done through men in suits, lawyers, and hugely powered homosexual activist groups. But they seem to be rewarded when they do things that are against the Constitution, like having a homosexual judge, who everybody knew was homosexual, except at the time he was closeted, negating the will of the people of California. It's just shocking to see how far this movement has progressed. And Christians must now stand, else we will have our rights taken away from us to stand for the truth on any issue involving homosexuality.
Yeah, and really the only reason these things have happened, Peter, you know this as well as I do, is because of the capitulation of the church, either the lack of moral courage, lack of moral clarity, not wanting to be put in the category of being bigoted, hateful, fear of losing donors and support. Whatever it is, this has only happened, as Francis Schaeffer said about abortion, to paraphrase, that every abortion mill in every city should have a sign open with permission of the church. These things have happened because of the cowardice and inactivity of the church. We come back, Peter. I want to talk about what happened with Exodus International, and I want to talk about what's happening in schools with our kids. If you've not read my article about this battle for your child's future, go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the latest article.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast. We are responding, not reacting. We are responding to the Supreme Court rulings today striking down DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which was overwhelmingly passed by Congress and signed by then-President Clinton in 1996, and then basically punting the Prop 8 case back to California, saying, well, actually, it never should have come to us because the case shouldn't have come to the Ninth Circuit Court anyway, and the only reason it got there was because the people voted. It was challenged, and state elected officials said, sorry, we're not going to defend it, support it. 866-34-TRUTH. And our president, which is one of the reasons I've been warning for years he was the wrong man to vote for, our president is celebrating the moment. Number seven, Joey.
Well, Charlie, the White House was pretty quick to tweet out this message over in President Obama's name, although he didn't do it personally because he is on that airplane. When he does it personally, he signs it B.O., but this one was obviously prepared in the hopes of this verdict. The tweet reads, today's DOMA ruling is a historic step forward for marriage equality, and is followed by the hashtag love is love. So the White House was hoping for this, ready for it, and the president right there endorsing it right away.
All right. And Joey, you can get number five ready as well. My guest joining me now, Peter LaBarbera from Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. Peter, what do you make of that love is love statement? Are we crazy to think that that opens the floodgates to all kinds of other relationships?
Oh, absolutely. I think the polygamists are celebrating today, Michael. And can I say something about your last point before the break, too?
Please.
You know, one of the things I've always loved about you, Mike, is that you have a radical commitment to the truth and a radical commitment to for Christian love for homosexuals, people struggling with homosexuality. And I think one of the sad things about our times in which we live is that the people pursuing sin have a greater commitment to, quote, their truth as they see it than we do to the real truth of God. And I think we got to ask ourselves, why is that? Where is the church on these issues? Why has this 2% of the population mobilized to such a degree now where they're basically in danger of controlling society, as it were, by controlling these various institutions across our country.
All right, let me play the advocate for the other side for a moment and say Americans are just becoming more enlightened. Americans realize that they've been bigoted, mean-spirited, and intolerant, and that gays and lesbians are just like everyone else, and their sexual relations are like everyone else, and their marital relations and family relations are like everyone else. So Americans are just getting enlightened now, like they did with civil rights and slavery and other things like that. That's why there's been such a shift in American opinion. We hear that all the time. How do you respond to that?
I think the exact opposite is true. I think Americans' eyes are darkened because of the effects of propaganda. The way propaganda works is you elevate your false truth, which was the homosexual activist movement, and you negate or you hide the things about that issue that you don't want people to know. For example, all the health risks associated with homosexual behavior, and as we talked about earlier, ex-gays, people who've left the homosexual movement. I was privileged to attend the Restored Hope Network conference in Oklahoma City on Friday and Saturday, and it was the most blessed event I'd been to in a long, long time, Mike. People who are obeying God rather than going for this worldly lie of gay rights, and God is helping people to overcome the sin of homosexuality, and it was just wonderful to behold. But most people, especially most young people, have never even heard of or met a former homosexual that's been healed through the power of Jesus Christ.
Right, and we're constantly told they don't exist, and the media mocks it in different ways. It's weaved into sitcoms and narratives on other shows. And now what's being promoted is the normality of, quote, being transgender. So you have a case where you've got a six-year-old boy who believes he's a girl, and he's now won the right through his parents going to court for this to use the girls' bathroom in his school. And he's identified in the articles as she. He's identified in the articles as the couple's daughter. And there's no thought about traumatizing everybody else in the school. That's not the issue. This boy is now identified as a girl. What are the implications of that for families? I mean, you've been sounding the alarm for years tirelessly. I've been seeking to do it. A lot of people just don't seem to get it. How does this affect our kids, Peter?
It has real-life effects, and that is such a tragic case. But when you get to the point where we're actually changing the meaning of words, calling a boy a daughter, or in the case of many states, I believe now, Mike, across the country, a so-called transgender man can go back. This is a guy who's born biologically male, who now believes he's, quote, a female. He can go back and change his birth certificate to read female. I mean, that's like the old Soviet Union rubbing out the pictures of the disgraced leaders. You know, we're actually trying to change reality. And if we don't think this is going to confuse a whole generation of kids, we're in for a big surprise.
Yeah, just repeat that about birth certificates. We're not just saying that let's say a man has sex change surgery and now identifies as a woman and is on hormones to be female and so on, that person now on their driver's license, it says female. That's a whole other issue, which is obviously wrong in itself. But you're saying they can now get their birth certificate changed to say that at birth they were the opposite of what they were born?
I believe that is the case, and I'm not sure how many states that applies. I think it's in my state of Illinois. I think you can change your birth certificate.
Yep.
And so they're literally changing reality about something as fundamental as your biology, your male or female biology. And Mike, here's another image. I know you've heard and seen this. I actually saw a picture. It was on the Mass Resistance site of a woman who believes she was a man, and she was a 20-something woman, young woman. She had her breasts, her healthy breasts, physically removed by a doctor to have a flat chest like a man. See, that's where the rubber meets the road, and these ideas do have consequences. And we see young men coming down with HIV because they're told it's okay to be gay and you can have sex, any kind of sex you want. It's all moral. These ideologies have severe consequences, and it's time we get the facts out to the American people to start making right decisions, I guess.
Yeah, and the moment we do get the facts out, we will be blasted. You've been blasted in very ugly terms. I would never want to repeat them because they're so ugly and vulgar, doctored pictures and things like this. This is, and a lot of people just back away. It's like, it's too much. I just want to pastor church. I don't want to have to deal with this. And I understand that. The fact is, we have to deal with it. Peter, I was sent a note from a professional counselor today, and he gave me permission to read this anonymously. I recently met with a man who described himself as a transgendered female, born male, looks male. He's in his late 40s, but appears as a normal-looking, good-looking, blonde man. In his most recent relationship, he was with a female and stated that he was lesbian during that relationship. So here's a man attracted to a woman, but saying he's actually a woman who's a lesbian. He described himself not as bi, but more as rotational with his gender identity. He also said his gender identity changes from week to week, female, male. As you can probably assume, his depression, anxiety, and personal confusion is off the charts. He's far from God, and his gender is not integrated or stable. And it goes on and on. And now the man is saying, you know, actually, I'm realizing that maybe my transgendered identity is a distraction in my life. We're empowering people like that now, even as little children, instead of saying, let's invest significant prayer and professional resources to get to the root of these people's problems to help them from the inside out. Instead, this is now being not just legitimized, but celebrated.
Yes, and God lovingly gives us boundaries. But when we ignore the boundaries, evil triumphs, and that's what we're seeing in all areas of this agenda. And as you know, Mike, the identifications are going to keep increasing. Now it's LGBTQQI. There's so many new identities, genderqueer, an actual identity of genderqueer, which I guess is like sort of what you described. What your gender is, whatever you want it to be. I mean, this is insanity. And I think with regard to the pastor who doesn't want to do anything, that's rewarding sin. That's rewarding a sin movement. I think you're the model of what a Christian needs to be. We need to speak out the truth in love, radical love, but defending truth and not caving an inch on, in the defense of truth.
Right, and if we don't, we have a couple of consequences. One, we're going to have to apologize to our kids and our grandkids. Two, we are going to face the real loss of freedoms of religion, conscience, and speech. As I have been warning for years, speak now or forever hold your peace. I want to get a couple more minutes with Pete LaBarbera, Americans for Truth, about homosexuality as soon as we come back. More about our kids. You won't believe this news.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Love is everything.
Love is us. Love is whatever or whoever makes you happy.
Love is just the best.
Love is freedom.
Love is justice for all.
Everybody should be happy.
Love is just real, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, human rights campaign, love is love. Our president now tweeting in, love is love. Two men, two women, doesn't matter. How about three men and two women? How about one woman, two men? How about two men, two women? How about polyamory? How about polygamy? How about all kinds of other consensual relations? Of course. It has to go in that direction. The media is already all over that, celebrating polygamy, celebrating polyamory. Why not? A Christian political leader in England said, notice that with the same-sex marriage debate in England, Muslims are saying almost nothing. You think, why aren't they resisting? Because they want it to pass, and they can just go to polygamy next. 866-34-TRUTH, my guest with me, Peter LaBarbera, with Americans for Truth about homosexuality. Peter, the American Academy of Pediatricians, which has taken some very, very radically liberal stances in recent years, has announced that its members should do more to fight, quote, heterosexism and homophobia, as well as step up their care of teens with same-sex attractions. They should put out brochures with pictures of both same and opposite gender couples, post rainbow decal on an office door bulletin board. And they suggest that medical questionnaires be changed to gender neutral. Pete, it's one thing to say, let's recognize kids are struggling. Let's recognize a lot of them go through rejection and questions and so on. And we want to be especially sensitive to recognize needs that they may have or tendencies towards hurting themselves and be on the alert. I'm all for doing that. To empower the behavior, encourage it, is the opposite of what they need. But what about the American Academy of Pediatricians encouraging gender-neutral medical questionnaires?
Yeah, it's insane, Mike. And we're moving towards compulsory approval of homosexual activism and gender confusion. I think of my friend Walt Heyer. I don't know if you've had him on your show, but he lived this life. He thought he was transgender, and by the way, it was rooted in his childhood. He was abused emotionally by his grandmother. He used to dress him up in a girl's dress when he was very young, and that's what I saw at Restored Hope Network. A lot of these men and women had very troubling circumstances in their early childhood, and so we're doing the opposite of what's right and healthy for these kids. And I don't know what it's going to take, Mike, to get back to sanity. Since even some conservatives now are either not saying anything about these awful developments or they're actually shilling for the LGBT cause. So I don't know what your ideas on that are, but we got to get at least the conservatives and the Christians doing the right thing.
Yeah, here's my hope. Naturally speaking, this goes so quickly and is going so far. It's one thing to see certain triumphs with gay activism in society. I mean, I knew that was coming before I started dealing with these issues. I knew in the natural this thing had gone in one direction already and we needed God's intervention. But say that the push for a little boy to be recognized as a girl and so on, you know, that is happening so rapidly. But I believe that activists will continue to overplay their hand, will continue to strike out against those who oppose them and strike out at our liberties. Hopefully that will be part of the cultural awakening. But bottom line is, it has to start in the church. The politicians, hopefully some will have backbone. Hopefully we can get people elected that will stand for what's right. But bottom line is, all of this is happening on the watch of a sleeping, carnal, complacent church who, for the most part, thinks it's all about me and just wants to be entertained. And the awakening has to start with us. If it starts with us, the nation will be shaken. And I believe God is going to save and deliver and transform hundreds of thousands of those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender.
Yeah, amen. Amen, Mike. And I saw it at Restored Hope Network, and I encourage people to support that new umbrella group that's replacing the Exodus International. It was wonderful to see God at work in the lives of these people. They took a stand against political correctness, I was blessed. And God is at work. And for every public person who came out of the homosexual lifestyle, there's probably 1,000 who don't want any publicity. So God is at work. And it's a lie from the pit of hell that Jesus Christ can't change people caught up in these sexual sins.
Yeah, and even if someone does not immediately or even over a period of time experience a complete change in their desires, they can meet the Lord, they can live a holy life, they can find deep contentment as many others have. And Pete, we've been following things with the demise of Exodus, and as much as the media is all over this to make it look negative, I'm pleased that it happened, because Exodus had lost sight of its vision and purpose, and it even espoused a false hyper-grace theology. So we've had Stephen Black on the air. We had him on 2 weeks ago today, in fact. We've been announcing Restored Hope Network, and we'll continue to point people in that direction. Last thing, really quickly, you know what happened behind the scenes with Exodus. So some of the founding ministries a few years back began to speak up about the change in direction. So they were already resigning and planning something new already. Before Exodus collapsed, Restored Hope Network had already been birthed, correct?
Absolutely. It's God's perfect timing. And when the final blow fell with Alan Chambers, God had established Restored Hope Network, and they were ready to go. It was a real miracle that they were. The timing was just perfect.
And their first conference was within days of the demise of Exodus. That's got to be encouraging for those looking for hope. Peter, where's your website? How can people follow what you're doing?
Yes, thanks, Michael. It's AmericansForTruth.com, all spelled out, AmericansForTruth.com. Can I say one more thing about Restored Hope Network? Your friend Wayne Besson has already called them a hate group. So the lies keep coming.
Yeah, in fact, I saw him just happen to notice a clip where he was attacking the conference and attacking you on the same page. So you are in good company, dear brother.
Thank you, Mike. God bless.
All right. God bless. Boy, friends, I have such appreciation for folks who've been on the front lines. You don't understand the level of attack that you get. You don't understand the level of vilification you go through, how you get mocked, how you get put down, how you get accused. Pete will expose some horrific thing happening at some gay pride event, and then he'll get accused of, well, you just go there because you're interested in this stuff, where he's trying to expose darkness by shining the light. So pray for folks like Pete, and pray for Matt Staber, who was on early with me. We've got a whole lot more to come. I want to encourage you to catch all the broadcasts later today online at AskDrBrown.org. Just click on latest audio. And my 7-point statement, my response to the Supreme Court decision, will be up on video a little later today. Would you stand with me? Do you believe in what we're doing? Do you appreciate us being on the air? Do you appreciate us bring you hope and courage in the midst of challenging things in our society? Stand with us. Your gift of any size. I want to send you a copy of A Queer Thing Happened to America with postage. It's well over $30 value. It'll also include 10 commitments for a Jesus Revolutionary. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, I am mildly concerned that human beings have made poor choices today. God is God. Jesus is Lord. The question is, how will we respond? Well, the divided Supreme Court has given its opinion about redefining marriage. The question is, what does God have to say, and what are we, God's people, to do?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm looking at a message just sent to me via Twitter regarding the Supreme Court decisions today, saying that DOMA Defensive Marriage Act is unconstitutional, and then punting Prop 8 back to California and saying, well, there was no validity to challenge the ban on it, calling it unconstitutional, even though the people of California voted for it twice. And there's a Twitter message I was sent. All of these developments really hurt, brother. I feel like we can't do anything. The powers that be are so strong. And I wrote back, to the contrary, this is our time to shine. So there's a lot of bad news, but the good news is Jesus is Lord. God is on his throne. And if we will respond properly, everything meant for discouragement, everything meant for hurt, everything meant to undermine and destroy society will ultimately be turned for good. But it's going to require radical awakening. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you, serving as a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. We had previously scheduled to have a guest on this hour, and it's all the more appropriate to have her joining us, Tammy Fitzgerald, who is the executive director of the North Carolina Values Coalition. She, on behalf of the North Carolina Values Coalition, has released a statement regarding the Supreme Court decision. We'll come back to that. And then some urgent matters for those living in North Carolina, living in Charlotte, that I want to talk to Tammy about. Tammy, of all days to have you on, looks like right timing, huh?
Yes, it does. It's sort of providential, I guess.
Yeah, in the first hour, I was joined by Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel and then Peter LaBarbera with Americans for Truth About Homosexuality. And I asked them both a question. I want to ask you this question in the first segment, and then we can unpack what's going on in the next segment. But how are you feeling emotionally today in light of these rulings? What's your state of mind?
Well, I am very thankful that the court did not find a universal right to same-sex marriage. And so I'm hopeful, and I think that the court really has upheld the right of the state to determine marriage policy. And so I think that gives us, as Christians, a lot of hope for the future. If they had done what they did 40 years ago with abortion, Roe versus Wade, I think it would have been a dire ending to the story. But as it has happened, citizens in the 50 states are still free to debate, discuss, and defend marriage.
Yeah, and that, so the Supreme Court did make some rulings. It's interesting you make that point, because I had 7 points that I made earlier today, and I'll repeat later in this hour. But I did say that the Supreme Court decision in 73 with Roe v. Wade was more evil and more sweeping, so that the court did not shoot down the right of, say, North Carolina, that voted 61% to 39% to uphold marriage, 30 other states that have voted in that way. It did not invalidate those things. So there are a lot of challenges that we have ahead. But Tammy, you said today the Supreme Court upheld the right of states to determine marriage policy. The Supreme Court did not declare a universal right to same-sex marriage, and it did not strike down Prop 8, California's marriage amendment. We're thankful that North Carolina's marriage amendment is not immediately impacted by the ruling. Citizens in the 50 states are still free to debate, discuss, and defend marriage. When we come back, I want to address something happening of great concern to businesses in the greater Charlotte community. Be sure to join me in a moment with Tammy Fitzgerald.
Cleansing flame, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, why should I get involved? Why should I bother? Because you have to, because if you don't, your liberty is going to be taken away. Because if you don't, you're going to have to apologize to your kids and to your grandkids. That's why we get involved in many of the social, moral issues that we get involved with. If the church had gotten involved in a different way, 1973, and before that with Roe v. Wade, we would not have had the loss of 55 million precious lives and all the damage from that. Basilius Schlink, German Christian leader in Germany, saw what the Nazis did, was a courageous opposing voice, and after the Holocaust said if the church had come out in force, if believers, Christians had come out in force after Kristallnacht, November 9th and 10th of 1938, when the Nazis first did what they did, they would not have been so emboldened. No, I'm not comparing the Supreme Court today to Nazis. I am simply making a point about what happens when Christians don't stand and act. Joining me today is Tammy Fitzgerald, Executive Director of the New North Carolina Values Coalition. Real quick, Tammy, just looking back last year, there was a tremendous victory in North Carolina, 61%, 39% vote upholding marriage, even though Democrats far outnumber Republicans in the state, and even though our side was outspent by a good margin. It was just a grassroots thing where the vote was overwhelmingly strong, and there were some people very upset. The elites were upset, you know, that the backwood bigots got to vote and decide this. That's how it was being cast. Then Governor Perdue even said, boy, we look like Mississippi. Had to apologize for that. Tammy, is it just backwood bigotry that caused that vote to succeed? You were right in the middle of it. What caused such an overwhelming victory for marriage here in North Carolina?
Well, Dr. Brown, thank you so much for asking the question and having me on today. It is never bigotry to defend traditional marriage. And the vote was so large in North Carolina because I think largely our state is still dominated by people who are Christians, who go to church, and who believe that the biblical view of marriage is the right view. So I think ultimately it came down to people's values, and that's how they voted in the ballot box on May 8th last year.
Yeah, it really is that simple and true. And unless we have been sold a bill of goods about marriage, we still understand, the great majority of us, that it is the union of a man and a woman in a certain unique way that only a man and woman can fulfill. All right, you're involved with something right now, yet another issue. This has to do with businesses, and I would dare say very, very few of the people in Greater Charlotte or North Carolina know about this. Enlighten us as to what is happening.
Well, I really kind of discovered this quite by accident. On the 19th of June, I happened to read an article in Q-Notes.
You still there, Tammy? Okay, we seem to have lost you. So hang on. We'll come back with this report with Tammy Fitzgerald in a moment. And Andrew, as soon as we renew the connection, just let me know, all right? I made 7 points earlier today that we'll have out on video later, my statement on video, and then God willing, I'll be writing an article or two tonight that'll be posted tomorrow addressing these issues. But my 7 responses to the Supreme Court decisions today. First, the lordship of Jesus and the rule of God have not been affected in the least. Read Psalm 2. Step back today. Read Psalm 2. Read it out loud. Read it with your family. Number 2, the Supreme Court abortion decision of 73 was far worse. And yet what happened today was very bad, but what happened in 73 was far worse. And people say, well, that'll never change. Well, it remains on shaky footing and is constantly being challenged today. Change can come. Number 3, this was ultimately a test for the Supreme Court. They made a decision that this was a test for them, and they failed miserably. especially in the declaring DOMA, Defensive Marriage Act, unconstitutional. Number four, human beings have not changed the will and ways of God and will ultimately have to choose between obeying God and obeying man. In other words, human beings, the Supreme Court did not change what marriage is. They didn't change the definition of marriage. They didn't change what God ordained for marriage. They didn't change what is best for society and marriage and kids and families. And ultimately, if certain laws do get passed or certain things do come down in the state in which you live, let's say you're a marriage clerk and you're told that you have to give a marriage certificate to two men or to two women, or you have another facility and you use it for marriages and weddings, and now you've got to use it for two men or two women, and you say, hey, I can't do that in good conscience, we're going to have to make choices. We're going to go obey man or obey God. And number four, let's not be concerned about the gloating of gay activists. This is a big day for them. They feel it's for the best, but they're not our enemies. They're not our enemies. We have a common enemy, the devil who wants to destroy them and destroy us. It's not a personal battle. When I'll speak about us winning in terms of marriage, I can use those terms, but ultimately this is not a personal battle. And we should pity them, pray for them more than anything. And then this is a further wake-up call for the church. These things have happened because of lethargy in the church and cowardice and compromise in the church. It's that simple. And lastly, like never before, we've got to live for God, get our own houses in order, reach out like never before to those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, and answer the ongoing collapse of our society with a Jesus revolution. All right, Tammy, I think we have reconnected there. Don't know what maybe some drones took our phone line out there. But you
it's
were saying
very
you
possible.
Just yeah these days, who knows? But at least it's radio. I'm not concerned about anybody eavesdropping because this is national radio, so we want everyone to hear it. But you stumbled on something on Q-Notes. This is a gay publication in the Carolinas. What did you discover?
Well, apparently there's a movement afoot to ask the city council in Charlotte to change its non-discrimination policy for the city to make to force businesses who contract with the city to have a non-discrimination policy that says they won't discriminate against persons on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. So the city itself has already adopted a policy that says the city won't discriminate against its employees on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. But now this movement would be an attempt to force it down the throats of business owners who want to do business with the city of Charlotte.
All right. Now, I'm not sure if you've looked at some other states. California has had certain things like this on the books. So what does that actually mean? We're talking about someone else doing business. So you've got some builder who now wants to send materials in or something, do business with businesses in Charlotte. And unless the business said, yeah, we have this as policy, that we agree with these things, that it would be a law that the Charlotte businesses couldn't do business with them?
That's exactly right. And in fact, in the two articles that have appeared in Q-Notes, the example they gave was the Democrat National Convention, that there was $1.1 million worth of business with contractors who did not meet the LGBTQ standards, which would be that they don't discriminate on the basis of sexual orientation or gender identity. So they've gone to the trouble of figuring out how much pro-LGBT businesses have lost in business with regard to the Democratic National Convention. So I guess this would impact anybody from truck drivers to, vendors that supply food for events to paper suppliers. I mean, all kinds of businesses, any business that wanted to contract with the city of Charlotte.
All right. Go ahead.
Well, this is part of a national strategy by the gay activist community. They're not just trying to pass laws that would redefine marriage, but they're also trying to pass laws that would prevent any citizen or business from discriminating, which is their term, not mine, against persons on the basis of being homosexual or transgendered. And so that then gives them a stick with which to beat us up. I mean, it basically has been used in other states to allow same-sex couples to go after in court businesses like cake bakers or photographers or mm-hmm. wedding venues that refuse to provide services to gay couples for weddings. And so they get sued under these non-discrimination laws, and the state can enforce it with a big stick.
In fact, Tammy, a colleague of mine with the Alliance Defending Freedom said now it's a lot of the states bringing the suits against individual Christians, that the state attorneys are bringing the suits. All right, we come back. I want to get one more minute with Tammy Fitzgerald to find out what businesses in Charlotte, people of Charlotte, can and should do.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Let me say this again. The gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender identified community is not my enemy. If you're listening and that's where you put yourself, that's who you identify yourself, you're not my enemy. Well, I absolutely stand against redefining marriage. I absolutely stand against the idea that a child can do just as well with two dads or two moms as that child can do with a mom and a dad. Absolutely stand against the idea that sexual liberties trump religious liberties. Absolutely. But I care about you as a fellow human being in the midst of our differences, and I would do whatever I could to protect you from hurt or harm. I'm simply not going to rewrite the Bible, redefine marriage, redefine society based on your sexual desires and romantic attractions. 866-34-TRUTH. Back with Tammy Fitzgerald, director of the North Carolina Values Coalition. So, Tammy, as you've read about what could be coming for Charlotte businesses, what should people do right now in North Carolina, or particularly the greater Charlotte area?
Well, they should call their city council members and tell them that this is not what they desire to have happen. I think being proactive about this is the best medicine. I think if city councils can pass ordinances in a matter of 2 to 3 weeks, and so if we're not actively advocating on behalf of traditional marriage and non-discrimination policies that don't force same-sex rights down our throats, if we're actively advocating, then the city council is more likely, when they're presented with a motion or some type of idea along this line, to strike it down. The city council member who was pushing the idea apparently is, I believe it's a woman named LaWanna Mayfield, and so I believe she's openly gay, and she's actually on the city council, and she made some statements in the keynotes that it is being worked on, and the city council may be presented with something. So the time to call is now. This is also going to be a tactic for our opponents on the marriage amendment across the state. It's not just going to be done in Charlotte. Statements have been made that they have a very hostile environment at the legislature, and they don't think they can get anything done on the state level. So they're going to be working at the local level to pass these non-discrimination laws. And so regardless of us having passed a marriage amendment last year, what this will do, if they're successful, is it will open the door to lawsuits against people who have deeply held religious, moral, or ethical beliefs that would prevent them from adopting a non-discrimination policy of this type or providing services for homosexual couples. And this is the first step, an ordinance like this that would require businesses contracting with the city to adopt an ordinance of this sort. The next step would be imposing that type of non-discrimination policy on all businesses in the city in order to do business there. And they just did that in Phoenix, Arizona, where you can actually go to jail if you refuse to provide services for a gay wedding.
All right. So just so folks understand, I've said for some years that the gay activist mantra, the unspoken mantra, is we will intimidate and we will manipulate until you capitulate. And some just capitulate immediately, just throw in the towel. And then others get worn out and they quit or they don't have the resources. Again, we don't have a choice. We have to stand for what's right. If we don't, we will get steamrolled, whatever the right verb is there. But in short, the issue is not you've got someone who works at McDonald's, right? And the guy is flipping burgers and he tells his boss, you know, I'm gay. And he's flipping burgers, and he does a good job flipping burgers. Well, that boss has no right to fire that person because he's gay. That would be illegal discrimination. That would be something we'd stand against as just on a moral level. And so we're not talking about that. What we're talking about is somebody goes to you, your Christian bookstore or whatever, you know, but just your business. Or let's say you're a bakery because this has happened. You're a florist and you do weddings and two men come in and they say, we'd like you to do a floral arrangement for our wedding. You say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't do that. I'm a Christian. And you're thinking, hey, I'm protected, right? First Amendment rights, I'm protected mm-hmm. here. And they say, no, there's state law that says you're discriminating against us. And if you don't provide the floral arrangement or the cake for the wedding, we're going to take you to court. But it's not just that now. It would actually be that could be attorney general. State attorneys would take you to court. How many people are willing to go through that just to hold to a moral conviction? You'll get vilified in national press and media, and then you may have fines and court cases. And Christians have lost cases like this. So if we can stop this in advance, we need to do it, correct?
Well, exactly. And, we need to stop it actually at the state level. But before that happens, we're going to have to stop it wherever it pops up around the state. And apparently it's going to pop up first in Charlotte. And the scenario that you painted is exactly what happened in the state of Washington just recently, where a woman who owns her own bakery and bakes cakes was sued by a lesbian couple because she told them very politely, I'm a Christian, and I just can't provide a cake for your wedding, but there's another bakery right down the street. And instead, they chose to sue her, and she not only is being sued by the couple, she's being sued by the state as well. And so she's defending two lawsuits, and it's just a mom-and-pop business.
And these things are happening across the country. Now, yeah, it may be that Christians are standing with them and some are having their business blessed, but why have to go through these battles if we can just be proactive? Tammy, thanks for everything you're doing. Be encouraged that you continue to make a difference. And regardless of what states, governments, Supreme Courts say, we're going to do what's right and honor the Lord. Thanks for being on the front lines, Tammy. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Brown. I sure appreciate your ministry and your radio show. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much, Tammy. Friends, let me ask you a question. As you heard what was happening today, as you heard the news, and were you thinking, wow, I want to hear what Line of Fire has to say. I want to hear what Mike Brown has to say. Were you hoping that maybe we could set the record straight or give you some clarity or give you some courage in the midst of the day? If so, that's what we're called to do. I could not. I went to sleep real late last night writing and some other things as I normally do. And I got up early this morning and I just couldn't go back to sleep because I was so pumped about what's going to happen. What's the Supreme Court going to say? And I couldn't wait to get to radio. We've had great guests on for an hour and a half. We've got another great guest about to join us. But we need your help. If you believe in what we're doing, pick up the phone now. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. And for your gift of any size, I want to send you, as my thank you gift, my 700-page book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Oh, everybody in America needs to read this. You're understanding why. It's a $30-plus value with postage. Yours for your gift of any size. 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Let us know that you believe in what we're doing.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, we've heard from man today. We've heard some people make decisions, some frail human beings, unelected officials, make some decisions that could have major, major implications for the nations, for the nation. And what happens in America affects the nations as well. Of course, God is not discouraged. God is not worried. But we need to wake up to reality. We need to understand exactly what happened in the Supreme Court today. And we need to know what we should and can do now as believers. I've been looking forward to this show today with tremendous anticipation. We've had an hour and a half of broadcasting up to now. I've given a 7-point response to what the Supreme Court has done today. We'll have that up later for you on video. I have an article that you can read on The Battle is for Your Child's Future about lots of developments that affect our kids. You better believe this affects our kids. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said the ultimate test of a moral society is the kind of world that leads to its children. You mess with marriage, you radically change the kind of world that we leave to our children. Michael Brown, the number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-34-TRUTH. My guest is a senior counsel with the Alliance Defending Freedom, Dale Schoengert. The ADF has been on the front lines of this battle for years. In fact, Joanne Franco, one of the senior attorneys in the ADF, was with us at Fire Church and Fire School of Ministry 3 years ago, talking about what's happening and how this is ultimately going to get to the Supreme Court. Well, it did, and some decisions came down today. Dale, thanks so much for joining us. You must be swamped with interviews today, but every guest I've had so far, I've asked the same question. Sir, what's your state of mind today in light of what has come down with the Supreme Court?
Well, first of all, it's great to be on your show, Dr. Brown. And I think my state of mind, you know, we've been fighting these battles for a long time, and it's easy to get up and down with each decision, but the Lord's in charge, and the Lord, he's on his throne, and we know that we just have to do the best we can and continue to litigate these cases and leave the results to him.
Got it. And I appreciate that. Obviously, we can have concern, but as I've been saying for the last hour and a half, this is not a personal battle. And if you see gay activists kind of gloating, in fact, Joey, just play clip number eight.
Today is a great day for American children and families. Sandy and I want to say how happy we are, not only to be able to return to California and finally get married, but to be able to say to the children in California, no matter where you live, no matter who your parents are, no matter what family you're in, you are equal. You are as good as your friends' parents and as your friends.
All right, Dale, we've just got a few seconds before the break, and then I want to come back and unpack these decisions, what actually happened. But how do you feel when you hear two lesbians announcing this is a great day for celebration, this is great for the children? How do you feel about gloating like that or celebration like that?
Well, I've seen the statistics. I've delved into the statistics in great depth about what the benefits children have of both a mother and a father. So, you know, it's sad that that's one of the tragedies of same-sex marriage, is that it deprives kids of either a mother or a father, and that is overlooked in the debate, and in fact, it's belittled when we bring that statistic up.
Yeah, it really is. And when I hear those things, rather than saying, oh, they won, we lost, like, oh, what a shame. I feel sorry for the people. I know that God's ways are best. Okay, we're going to be right back with Dale Schoengert. I want to unpack exactly what happened with these two decisions, what the implications are, and then talk about some things, that we can do.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, as we respond to the Supreme Court decisions and unpack what has happened today. 866-34-TRUTH. I am joined by Dale Schoenger, who is a senior attorney with the Alliance Defending Freedom. They've been on the front lines of these battles for years. They were on the front lines of this Supreme Court battle. First, Dale, if you could help us understand what's actually taken place first with the overturning of DOMA, what actually happened, and what are the implications of that?
Sure, yeah. First, DOMA, there was only one, there are two portions of DOMA. There's one portion that defines marriage for all federal purposes. That was the portion that was challenged in this lawsuit. And then there's a second portion that allows states to define marriage for themselves. And it says that if Massachusetts redefines marriage to include same-sex couples, it doesn't mean that Kansas or another state has to. That part of the DOMA is left untouched. It wasn't challenged in this case. But the portion that defines marriage for federal purposes was struck down as unconstitutional in a 5-4 decision, with Justice Kennedy writing that decision. And he basically applied a sort of a weird theory to this, which I won't go into because it's a lot of legal mumbo-jumbo. But the good news is that the court did not strike down all 50 marriage state or all states' marriage laws from coast to coast. It applied only to that federal law.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, in North Carolina, for example, where I've lived for some years, the vote was 61-39% last year, upholding marriage, putting it in our Constitution as union of a man and woman only. So, DOMA does not, the overturning of DOMA does not overturn that, but does it open the door to have the state laws challenged?
It does. It does not overturn that. It's still, North Carolina's marriage amendment is still constitutional. It's untouched. But, you know, proponents will certainly take some of the statements that were made in the decision and try to use those to overturn marriage amendments in states like North Carolina. So they will use it to, the other side will use it to their advantage, or they'll try to anyway, but you know, there'll be a lot of litigation between now and then.
All right, and Justice Scalia minced no words in his attack on this. We have to realize, of course, 96, Congress overwhelmingly passed DOMA. President Clinton signed it into law. Now you have non-elected officials overturning what the elected officials did. Is there a recourse to this? Is there something that can be done aside from expressing outrage? Justice Scalia seemed to say that the court has lost credibility and it will only have as much authority as the people give it. But how do the people not give it authority when it already has it?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I love reading Justice Scalia's dissents, and this one is no exception. It's actually somewhat cathartic to read. But basically, the only recourse is to amend the Constitution or to limit the court's authority somehow, which, you know, Congress can do. Congress can limit the Supreme Court's authority, but it takes political will to do that, and it takes a lot of effort. And the question is, do we have it?
Right. That's the question, and that's the question that only we can answer. What about the Prop 8 case? You were actually even more closely involved in this with your team. What actually happened, and is it a fair decision? I mean, Scalia was on the other side of this along with Roberts, or is it an outrage?
Well, the Prop 8 decision is a little bit more complicated, and if you look at the news, you think that Prop 8 is overturned and it's done with. That's not the case. Prop 8, the court, as you probably remember, the governor and the attorney general of California refused to enforce Prop 8, refused to defend it in court. So the proponents of that initiative in California, the citizens can enact a law by an initiative, and that's what they did with Prop 8. And so the main proponents of that initiative came forward. That we were represented by ADF and Chuck Cooper's law firm in Washington, D.C., and we said, we'll defend the law. The California Supreme Court said that those proponents had authority to defend the law, which the Ninth Circuit accepted. But the Supreme Court said no, because it's not a governmental entity, essentially, they don't have authority to defend the law, and it basically wiped out the Ninth Circuit's decision overturning Prop 8 or affirming the overturning of Prop 8 and returned it to the district court. So now it's going to get very interesting to see what happens, because the plaintiffs in that case only asked for Prop 8 to be overturned for them, for just the four individuals in that case. And agencies in California can't recognize or can't act as though an initiative is overturned or is unconstitutional until an appellate court says it is. And no appellate court has said that, because the Ninth Circuit's decision is overturned. So it gets a little bit technical, but basically Prop 8 is still in effect until an appellate court says that it's not. And so that's going to be more litigation over Prop 8, and it'll be interesting to see how exactly that turns out. But it's far from over.
So here's the outrage of what happened up to now, though. The people vote second time now, and then you have the elected officials saying, we refuse to stand for what the people voted for. If they had done that, then the Supreme Court potentially could have heard the case. They threw it back because they said it didn't have standing, because the plaintiffs didn't have the standing to bring it. So, again, it's just one of these cases. It's like the president tweeting celebratory remarks about what happened and directing Attorney General Holder not to defend Defense of Marriage Act when it's the law. I mean, what gives them the right to say, okay, we're just going to defend it? And the same thing with Governor and Attorney General in California. It's an extraordinary amount of hubris to just say, sorry, it's on the books, people voted for it, but we're not going to stand for it. Again, the only choice then is to get those elected officials removed, correct?
That's right. That's right. It's extraordinary to have government officials that are charged with the defense of the law. That's what the Attorney General does. You know, he defends the law that's on the books in court. He doesn't have the discretion to say, nah, I'm not going to defend this one. That's what he did in this case. That's what the Attorney General did with DOMA. And it is extraordinary. I mean, it's breaking new ground. And the recourse is at the ballot box. It's a political solution at this point, and it's really, we should be outraged, because it is outrageous, and even people that disagree with this, and some have, should recognize that this is an outrage, and it's really a miscarriage of justice.
Right, and they have to ask themselves the question: what if the shoe was on the other foot?
Absolutely.
What would they do if they had some vote and it was 70% to 30% that we are going to change the definition of marriage, and then someone challenges it and the attorney general, who's a conservative Christian, or the governor says, sorry, we're not going to do anything. Doesn't matter what you vote. It doesn't matter what you appointed us to do. So we just have to say, is this the way people want the country run? Everyone has to act their conscience, but then the only possible thing for that person to do is step down. Say, in conscience, I can't defend this, so I'm stepping down. And then let the people vote for
somebody,
a replacement.
That's right. Or you could appoint somebody else to defend the law. That happens all the time. I mean, it's really amazing, and it's happening with more and more frequency on this issue. I litigated a case in Hawaii federal court where the governor of Hawaii did the exact same thing. It was extraordinary. He turned around and filed a 100-page brief against the law, and it used all the state's resources to attack a law that was duly passed by and signed by his predecessor. So it's really breathtaking if you stand back and look at what these officials are doing.
Yes, it is. And we're so deeply indebted to what you and your team and others on the front lines have done. Last minute that I have you, just a personal opinion, not an official ADF opinion. Why do you think these politicians and others have gone the way they have? Is it just political correctness? Is it moral insanity? What's your personal opinion?
I think a combination. I think they sense, whether that sense is correct, that some political winds are moving the other direction, and I think it's a lack of moral courage. I think it's a probably a combination of things. I don't know these people personally, so I can't speculate on what's motivating, but it is unprecedented and it is very disturbing.
Yeah, well, the good news is Jesus is Lord and God's people can stand up for what's right, and we can also reach out to individuals and see them change through the gospel. But again, we're indebted to you because we know these legal battles have to be fought day and night, and you're standing for righteousness, many sacrificially. So thank you for what you're doing. We're standing together with you. And the victory is ultimately the Lord's. We'll see it together.
Amen. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right, friends, I've got a bunch more things to say. And then do you know what happened in Texas with the abortion law there? Talk to you about it when we come back.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, I want to really, really, really strongly encourage you. Really strongly encourage you to go to my website after the broadcast. Oh, give it about an hour, all right? And then you can listen to the entire program from today. So much said. I had four very, very special guests with so much important information. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org, click on latest audio, click on latest video. A little bit later this afternoon, we will have a video up of a statement that I made, my 7-point response to the Supreme Court rulings. You'll want to watch that and send it out to as many people as you can. You'll probably, if you're a pastor leader, you may want to play it for your church to encourage them. If you go to Wednesday night service, no, not because I'm some hotshot, but I believe I have some things that will be helpful and encouraging to share in the midst of this. That's why God's given me a certain responsibility, and I took it seriously last night and today. All right, Lord, I'm on the air. We've got folks listening. What can I say? How can I fairly and rightly represent your heart and your word at this time and be a voice, another voice, doing that right now? The article that I wrote, AskDrBrown.org, my latest article, This Battle is for Your Child's Future, you want to read that as well. Trust me, parents, you want to read it. Are you aware that the American Academy of Pediatricians, which is the nation's largest organization of pediatricians, is calling for its members to fight against heterosexism? In other words, the idea that male-female is right and best, that a kid does best with a mom and a dad, that there's a difference between men and women that's divinely intended and so on. Fight against that. Are you aware that courts have ruled that a 6-year-old boy who believes he's a girl can use the female bathroom in his school? And the news is reporting it, calling him a transgender girl and talking about the parents referring to this as their daughter. This is a 6-year-old boy. This is a boy. Do you understand? Boy, male, who's confused about his identity. Our efforts need to be put towards helping people understand why they have these issues, why they are gender confused, and helping them from the inside out, not traumatizing a whole school. And then, in case you haven't heard about that, a measure passed by the California Assembly in May would require schools to, quote, allow transgender students to participate on sports teams and use bathrooms that correspond with their gender identity, not their sex. So Sally believes that she's actually Billy. She can play on the boys' basketball team and use the boys' bathroom and locker room. And don't forget the news. Mickey Mouse just officially added the gay agenda to his programming in early 2014. Disney Channel will be set to air its first openly gay couple in its family-oriented TV show, Good Luck Charlie. That's why we talk about these things, friends. Because this is coming to a church near you, a school near you, a TV show near you, a court near you, and you can't just make believe it's not going on. And friends, when I speak critically of our president cheering on what the Supreme Court did today, I don't care if he's Republican or Democrat. I don't care if he's black or white or Hispanic or Asian. I don't care if he's Jew or Gentile. I don't care if it's a he or a she. I'm going to speak out against it. I'm going to say shame on those who voted for him knowing what his views were, and shame on those who would not listen to those who were saying what his views were. Well, let me add to this. In Texas, based on the horrors of the Gosnell Clinic, the Republicans were trying to pass a ban on abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. So they'd also ban late term. The Texas legislator was fighting against this bill that would ban late term abortions from 20 weeks up to the day of birth. And the president has already promised he would veto a national bill that would ban abortions after 20 weeks of pregnancy. So one woman, Texas legislator, tried to filibuster this. Just going to read until you got to midnight when the bill had to be passed by law and then stop it from being passed. The president tweeted a word of support as she was filibustering a bill that would make it illegal to kill babies from 20 weeks on, 20 weeks in the womb on. You're talking a baby almost 6 months old in the womb. Make it illegal to kill that baby in the womb from 6 months and after. And the president tweeted his support. And then there was demonstration, hundreds of people screaming and yelling, pro-abortion women screaming and yelling. And because of that, even though they got the vote in by midnight, it couldn't be signed because of the confusion. And the president is celebrating that as well. It's a shame, friends. It's a shame. The good news is it's not too late for us to bring about change. What's the change going to be? By electing the right Republican? No. The change is going to be awakening in the church. The change is going to be that we get rid of our lack of courage, that we get rid of our hypocrisy, that we get rid of the compromise, that we stop playing games, that we stop playing games with divorce, and we stop playing games with pornography, and we stop playing games with other moral issues. And we stop playing games with sacred things like prayer and the word, and we get serious about the most serious things of all. And we give ourselves to God, heart and soul and mind and strength, say, Lord, here I am, send me, use me. And as we'll do that, God will bring about change. And yes, we'll elect better officials to stand and do what's right in both parties. And if they're not there, then God will raise up others, maybe some of you listening. But the biggest issue is awakening in the church. When awakening happens in the church, it will spread from us to the society. It's not too late to see radical change come to our generation for our kids' sake and the sake of our grandkids and great-grandkids. I was told by one of our grads yesterday, just a neat report I shared in the first hour, that an article I wrote a few weeks back asking the question, is radical Islam normative Islam? It was given to one of the leading parliamentarians in Holland. That's where the grad lives, and her brother is working with this leading parliamentarian. And then copies were made to give to every single Dutch parliamentarian about Islam, copies of that article. Friends, we're making a difference. Our voice is being heard. And I'm asking you to stand with me, literally to hold my hands up and the hands of our team here, our ministry team, and to breathe encouragement and strength by praying for us and by financially supporting us. Friends, all the money goes right back out into ministry. We're not building some hangar for our new expensive private jet. We're seeking to get on more radio stations. We're seeking to stay on the stations where we are. We're about to launch on national TV. Your help is immeasurably important to us, and I want to send you as a thank you gift my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. Yeah, you better believe everybody needs to read that. With postage, just over $30 value, it's yours for your gift of any size today. I'll also put in our card, 10 Commitments of a Jesus Revolutionary, 1-800-278-9978. The number to call, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, frail human beings in black robes have spoken. The only thing that matters to me is the glorious robed one, what he has to say. Let's act on his word.